So last week, we were in John chapter 14, and Jesus made some huge claims in John chapter 14, including that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one could get to the Father or get to God except through Jesus. So that was a huge claim by Jesus. He also made a statement that he's made, again, it's another bold claim, but he said it a whole bunch of times in John, I and the Father are one. If you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said, right? So today, we're just kind of setting the stage. They've just had supper. Remember, they were eating supper. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, they've been eating supper for 2 weeks. That's a big supper, hey? They're finally done supper. And so we're gonna get into the clip in a second here. And they've just left supper. And Jesus is leading them on a trip that will be his last trip with his disciples before his death. And he continues to teach them. Today he talks about a few things that are super important for us to understand, especially of those of you who call yourselves Christians. And also, he introduced the Holy Spirit a couple of weeks ago, and he expands on that a little bit. I'm not going to go into that huge in the talk, but we are going to dive into it in our small groups. Okay, so we're going to hit the clip. The first clip's about 3 minutes, so go ahead, Chris.
The ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father, and that is why I do everything as he commands me. Come, let us go from this place. I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me.
I am the vine.
You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Those who do not remain in me are thrown out like a branch and dry up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish. Shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you, just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands, and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another, just as I love you. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them, and you are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so, the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This, then, is what I command you. Love one another.
There we go. The lights are coming back on. So there's a lot. Jesus had a really big, long conversation with the disciple. Well, it wasn't really a conversation, right? He was talking and they were listening. So he just had a big, long, long conversation. I don't expect speech, okay, talk, whatever. I don't expect you to remember it all. But there are a few things that we want to pull out of this that I think are his conversation, okay, his talk, speech, whatever. You guys are like, this is the correcting section here. You guys move to the back so I can't hear you. Jesus is teaching. There we go, teaching his disciples. And one of the things you need to take note of when you're reading the Bible is when something is repeated. And we have heard this one command to love one another how many times? Like 6 or 7 times just in the last 2 weeks. Jesus keeps repeating himself. In fact, I was kind of struggling today, kind of think, okay, what aspect of this text can I preach? Because we've heard this over and over. It's like Jesus is saying the same things. And one of the things that struck me is that disciples never really got it. He kept telling them over and over. And eventually they did. Eventually they understood and all the things that he was talking about. But it took a long time. And when things are repeated in the Bible, it means that they're super important. And you need to take note. And you need to go like, oh, he's saying it again. Okay. So there's another statement in the next clip that we've heard 3 times last week that you need to take note of. And we'll get to that when it comes. But anyway, I'm just going to walk you through what Jesus talked about, the vine and the branches, because it's a little bit confusing. And he says some really hard things in there. First of all, starting in John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Okay, this is a kind of a really tough concept, and some of you guys are going like, what in the world is he talking about? Fruit, vines, branches, grapes, I don't know. It's kind of confusing, isn't it? Well, this is a really serious statement that Jesus is talking about. You remember last week, one of the claims that Jesus made is, I am the life. So he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? This is an illustration that he's giving us that our life as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, needs to be connected with his life. So the vine represents life, the life of Christ. The branches represent the believers. And as branches, we have to be connected to the vine. Confusing? No? Oh, okay. Well, you guys are with it. I'm confused. No, I'm not confused. So the branches need to be connected to the vine. Now that sounds really logical, right? If you have we don't have vines here, unless you've been out to the Sawatsky's place and they have grapes and vines and stuff, but it's not normal, so why don't we just go with a tree, okay? It's really simpler. Simple, a poplar, right? You have a poplar tree, you got branches, you rip a branch off, what happens to that branch? It dies, right? You get it off, and it's green still for a while, but as it lays in the ground, what happens to it? Yeah, it loses all its life. It becomes like really brittle eventually. There's no life in it anymore. This is what Jesus is trying to tell us, is that if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, then your life needs to be connected to Jesus all the time. And if it's not connected to Jesus, eventually your life will just wither and die, because Jesus is what? The life. Yeah, he's the way as well. So that's a right answer, just not right enough. No. Yeah, he's the life. So now we got to figure out what this means, because he said something really hard here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. What's he talking about there? Does God cut off branches from his vine? What's he talking about? Anybody? No, he's not talking about the hair. He could cut your hair, I guess, if he really wanted to. What's he talking about here? How many of you guys struggle at times, or at least in your past, or maybe even today, whether you are in or out in regards to salvation? Am I saved? Am I not saved? Do I belong to Jesus? Do I not belong to Jesus? Have you guys ever struggled with that? I've struggled with that like huge. Like that was a huge thing, especially growing up in the church as a kid. I'm just like, how does this work? Yeah, I believe this stuff. I really struggle trying to make it happen in my life. I have sin that I struggle with. How does this whole thing work? You guys ever been there? For those of you who are Christians? No? Yes? Well, I have. Most of you are nodding, so we'll keep going on that thread. So what is Jesus talking about? Cut them off. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Does that sound harsh? So, what's that? Okay. All right. Let's keep going. We'll come back to that in a second. You guys are just kind of really still. You guys are just kind of, what's going on here? Okay, this is what he says. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So there's kind of two real main themes here. First of all, the main thing Jesus is talking about is this vine that provides life. And the second thing that he's talking about is some fruit, which we'll find as we read on in the text that the fruit is the evidence that you're connected to the vine, right? If a branch is connected to a vine, what happens to it? Let's go back to grapes, or that's actually just the poplar tree. If it's almost, the time that the leaves are coming out, if the branch is connected to the trunk of the tree, what happens in the spring? The leaves come out, right? And in some ways, that's the poplar's fruit. It's easier to... Yeah! We don't have apple trees. I'm trying to think of something around here. Oh, crap. Yeah. Crab apple trees. Sorry. I'm just going, oh. All right. Let's just do the vine and the grapes, right? It's really easy. When the branch is connected to the tree, you get fruit. Simple, right? When the branch is not connected to the tree, no fruit. So what happens if you have an apple tree that doesn't produce any apples? What is it? It's just a tree. Nice. That's right. I didn't think anybody would get that, but I should have known. That's the teenage mind is right there. That's right. It's just a tree. So here's the thing. God wants us to be an apple tree. I like the apple thing, right? He wants us to be part of the apple tree. He wants us to bear fruit. What does that mean? What is fruit? What is Jesus talking about fruit? Rylan? What's that? Okay, whatever. Whatever, that's fine. Lemon tree. Apple tree. Whatever. Whatever's your favorite fruit. What's Jesus talking about fruit? You guys are like, there's no feedback today at all. Are you guys stumped on this? Nice. Okay, let's clarify this. See, I knew you guys said, nope, we're not confused. She just asked, are we the branches of the fruit? Good question. We're the branches. Okay? Jesus is the vine. We're the branch. In order to bear fruit, a branch needs to be connected to the vine. Yes. In order for the Christian to bear fruit, which we will try to figure out what that means, what does the Christian have to be connected to? Jesus. Yes. So what is fruit? What kind of fruit is Jesus talking about? Because yes, fruit is food. But Jesus is not talking about food. What's he talking about? Okay, what comes out of your life? Like what? Okay. So, nice. So could we say that fruit is kind of like character? Fruit of the Spirit, yeah. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Nice. Nice work. Okay, so here's the thing. So what happens if those kind of things are not being produced in your life? Okay. There's two statements in here. See, we've only gotten three verses in. This is really confusing, obviously. Okay. What happens when there's no fruit? What did Jesus say? Yeah, that sounds pretty harsh, right? Okay. So, this is maybe even a weirder statement. Harder to understand. I shouldn't say weird, maybe. is that the ones that does do bear fruit, he prunes. What does prune mean? Grooming. Who said grooming? Nice. Okay. Right. So it's like grooming them. No, pruning isn't polishing. Pruning is. Yeah. When you prune a tree, you do it so that it produces more fruit, right? That's. Are you guys gardeners at all? Do you guys know anything about gardening? Ah, there we go. Okay. Yes. Okay. It's enough. All right. We're enough confusing you. Okay. So here's the thing. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you're a Christian, then the evidence that you're a Christian is that there's fruit. Because if you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, it means you're connected to Jesus. Okay? What I mean by connected to Jesus is that you love Jesus. Okay? Last week, this was one of the things we wanted to make really clear, is that our good works and the things that we do that are good don't come from the fact that we do it because we're Christians. It doesn't come from the fact that we do it because we feel like it's an obligation or that we have to because we're Christians. You guys remember that? So we don't go to church because we have to, right? If you're doing that, it's just a religious duty that you're doing. We get to go to church and we get to learn about God and we get to come to youth and learn about God, hopefully, as long as the youth pastor doesn't confuse you too much. We get to practice love to each other. We get to do these things. We get to read our Bible. It's not that we have to read our Bible. We actually get to. So it's born out of love for God. Now, if we remove the love, what happens? What motivation is there that happens? You still want to do all these things, but why are you doing them? If you don't love Jesus, then why would you do all these other things? What's that? So that you can get to heaven, right? If you are doing all these things in order to get to heaven, are they going to get you to heaven? No. So going to church doesn't get you to heaven. Reading your Bible doesn't get you to heaven. Doing all these good things and helping the poor and doing all these great things, they don't get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven? Jesus. Yeah. That's why Jesus is saying you need to stay connected to me. So here's some of the things that you may have heard that I think is nasty and plays with your, am I saved or am I not? Some people say that you can lose your salvation. So that's an interesting statement because the terminology seems like, you know, I lose my keys, right? Or I lose my wallet. It's just like, oh no, where'd my salvation go? Oh, I lost it again. That's not how it is, okay? So a lot of guys kind of preach that. If you're involved in sin, boom, you've lost it. They just bang. And so you start feeling guilty. You start having all these questions, well, am I in or am I out? Because, you know, I'm filled with sin and I just can't stop sinning. So I guess I must be out. That's garbage. Okay? Now, the Bible says in the book of Romans that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. There's a few things you guys need to understand if we're going to look at this text and talk about what it means to be cut off. There's a few things you need to know so that you're not going like, am I going to be cut off? Jesus said that he will never leave us or forsake us. He said that I will be with you always. He promised that nothing could separate us. He promised in the book of John that we've gone through in John 10 that he doesn't lose that he doesn't lose the ones that God gives him. So he just doesn't lose them. It's like he doesn't misplace them. Like he's a good and awesome God. He doesn't misplace his people, okay? However, at the same time, you need to understand that the Bible is also clear that you can walk away, that you can reject God. And this is a huge deal, and I've seen it. I've seen it happen. There's a parable that Jesus talks about, not in the book of John, in another gospel, a couple of them, called the parable of the sower. And what happens is the sower, or the farmer, goes along and he spreads seeds, and he spreads seeds everywhere. This is like a crazy farmer. Everywhere. He spreads it on the road, he spreads it in the ditch, and in the over there and in here, and then there's some on this nice good soil. It's like, this is a crazy farmer. That's the best way to go, because my dad's a farmer and he'd say that was crazy. You don't put seeds on the road. Okay, but this is what God is trying to communicate, is that he's the farmer, so obviously he's not a crazy farmer. But he loves everyone, and he spreads the gospel, which is the seeds, the message about Jesus. He spreads them liberally everywhere. Remember last week we talked about Christianity being an inclusive religion, in that it calls everybody to come to Jesus, that there's no restrictions. That doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what intelligence you are, what job you have. Well, that's what this is talking about in this parable. Jesus spreads the seeds liberally. Everybody can hear the word. Everybody can respond to it. Everyone has a chance that hears the word. Yes. Because he's relating to us, right? Because we know what fruit is. When I ask you what fruit is, you immediately know, right? Yeah, there you go. So he uses those things to help us understand, okay? That's a good question. So in the parable, what happens? There's four types of ground that the seed falls on. There's the path, which is like, let's pretend that's the road out front of the church here, right? You throw seed on the road, is it going to grow? Probably not. Maybe in Cold Lake, because there's some deep potholes, and maybe it would grow, because it goes down to like the China, right? Some deep potholes. But yeah, in the story, no, things don't grow on the road because it's not good soil. Well, there is also some thorny soil, and when the seed grows up, the thorns come up with it. What happens? The thorns and the weeds choke it out. And what that means is that the word of God is the seed. It's planted in our hearts. We start growing, but then we get consumed by the things of the world, and we turn our backs and leave Jesus behind. Now, there's another type. There's a seed that goes into the rocky soil. And my dad's a farmer, and so rocky soil doesn't produce a lot of fruit or harvest, right? Rocky soil, not so good. This is what me and my brother did for, I don't know, 10 years of my life. So we picked rocks. That was my job. Wagon and a tractor in a dusty field, picking big rocks out of the field. Because the rocks are, well, they're no good for the machinery. And nothing grows where the rock is, right? You pick up a big rock, it's like nothing. So the rocky soil represents the people who have heard the message of Christ. It's taken root. They believe. They're like, yeah, I believe that. And they immediately go and face persecution. They get made fun of, or we've seen this right in our youth group where someone who's become a Christian gets home and they're made fun of by even their parents, and looked down upon, and they're persecuted. And what happens is, because of the persecution, they decide, nope, I did believe that, but it's not worth it, and they move on. Fourth type of soil is the good soil. And when the seed is planted in the good soil, it grows. And what Jesus says is that it grows, and there's a big harvest. Because when it's good soil, I don't know if you guys are aware of the really good soil in Canada, but around the Red River in Manitoba, the crops are unbelievable. Like, they're amazing. The harvest is huge there, especially in a good year when there's lots of rain, because the soil is really rich, because the Red River floods all the time, right? Which sucks for the people in the houses, but great for the farmers. What's that? Well, if you want to do mathematics, then yeah, it's like a fourth. But it's that Jesus isn't saying it's like this, right? He's saying there's four types of soil. So here's the deal, guys, is that when you become a Christian, the Bible says that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what the Bible is talking about, that nothing can wrench that relationship apart. There is nothing that can separate you from Jesus. There's nothing, if we're using our illustration today about the vine, there is no force on this earth great enough to grab that branch and break it off and run away with it. Nobody can steal you away from Jesus. Nobody. Right? So what is Jesus talking about when he says that a branch that doesn't bear any fruit will be cut off? Because it's obviously the branch is connected with the vine.
Yeah?
Yes. Basically. Okay, if you say you believe in Jesus, but you turn your back on him, and you say no to Jesus, you actually reject him and say, see, the Bible says in the book of James that even the demons believe. Okay? So, that's an interesting statement, right? Because you're like, well, I believe, and you know, when we look through the Bible, there's lots of verses that says, what is the requirement of salvation? Well, belief, boom, just like that. There's also lots of scripture, including the one we're doing today, that says, if you do belong to Jesus, then this is going to be the evidence. And see, coming to Jesus isn't about raising your hand and saying a prayer. That's not what coming to Jesus is about. Our culture has really confused people in this way. They think if you've raised your hand, said, yep, I want to be a Christian, that now you're a Christian. But it's more than that. It's way more than that. Because it's a decision to follow Jesus. Okay? It's not just, do you realize that, you guys know what the sinner's prayer is? It's the prayer you say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me for my sins. Great prayer. You realize it's only 150 years old? It was introduced by D.L. Moody. That's it. Actually, maybe it's older than 150, but not much. So for 1,800 years, people didn't know about the sinner's prayer. Here's the deal. How do you know that you're a Christian? Because this is the question that comes out of this text. How do you know if you're a Christian? Because if you know you're a Christian, if you know you belong to Jesus, then what's the result? How do you know you're a Christian? You love God. And what does it mean to love God? You guys are awesome. That was so fast. We've heard it repeated multiple times in John 14 and 15. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Awesome. Does that mean that we have to be 100% obedient and that if we screw up, we get cut off? No. It doesn't mean that. Jesus isn't like the mad gardener. It's just like, oh, he didn't bear fruit. It's only spring, but I don't care. That's not what Jesus is like, right? Again, there's some things in the Bible that you guys need to remember, because here's the deal. Is that Satan, the enemy, wants to confuse you, and he wants you to doubt, and he wants you to be full of fear that you don't belong to Jesus. He wants that. Because someone who is full of fear and is full of doubt that they belong to Jesus is constantly in a state of despair and a state of, I'm just not good enough, I can't do it. And in some ways, that's the state you need to be in, because you do have to realize, yes, you can't do it. You cannot live up to God's standard. Because remember what we said last week? What's God's standard? Perfection. You need to know you will never live up to perfection in this lifetime. Ever. You will not do it. God's standard is perfection. Holy moly! Perfect? Are you kidding me? Is there any possibility that any human who ever lived could possibly live up to that? Yes? No? There was one, yeah. Jesus lived up to that. Here's the deal. This is why you need to be connected to the vine, to be connected to Jesus, to love Jesus. Because Jesus lived up to God's standard. He's the only one who ever did. He's the only one who ever lived up to God's standard of perfection. There is no way that we can ever meet that requirement from God unless we're connected to Jesus. Because here's the cool thing. When we get to heaven, or we get to the judgment and we come up before Jesus and come up before God, and God's like, why should I let you into heaven? If you got a list of, well, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, went to church every Sunday, went to youth twice a week. Yeah. Well, because you're lying, right? It was only once a week. But hey, you're just trying to make yourself look good. I did this. I helped the poor. I gave money to people in need. I read my Bible. I was nice to people. I did the right things. I wore the right clothes. I talked the right talk. What's Jesus? Do you think God's going to say, oh, well, of course, you're good enough? Is he? Okay. Here's a word of advice. If you're going to try to impress God with your resume and all the good things that you've done, you should have a different plan, okay? Because if God's standard for you to be in heaven is perfection, you're not going to make it. Ever. In fact, the more you try, the bigger the debt's going to end up being, because you're like, oh, I sinned again. That's why you need to be connected to Jesus. When you come before God, your answer is, I don't deserve heaven at all. But I love Jesus. And he died for me. He's forgiven my sins. I am clean. I am perfect. I am holy. I can go to heaven. It's not because of my works. It's not because of what I've done. It's because of what Jesus did. And I am connected to Jesus. Right. So you guys catching this now? This is why you can have confidence in your faith. Because it's not how good you are. It's not how many good things you do. It's not how many people you help. It's that you're connected to Jesus. That is what the last two chapters that we've been through is all about. Jesus is the life. We need to be connected to the life because the life is also the way. The way to God. The only way. There's only one way. Right? We talked about that last week. Jesus said that. There's one way. All right. So I've already spent longer than I anticipated there. But I think it's super important that we understand that. So when the enemy comes and starts making you doubt and starts making you go like, am I saved? Am I doing enough good things? You need to stop thinking in that direction, and here's what you need to think. Am I connected to Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Is there fruit being produced in my life? Am I growing in my faith? Those are the questions you start to ask. Not about all your works and all the things you do and your performance. Forget about that stuff. That's not going to do you any good. The question is, are you connected to Jesus? If you are connected to Jesus, here's what Jesus promises. That the world will hate you. This is a good deal, right? That's what everybody wants. Just to let you know, I'm not going to try to convince you that if you become a Christian, everything in your life is going to be woohoo, it's all going to be awesome. God's just going to woohoo, life's going to be easy, simple, no problems, no trials. It's not true. Here's what Jesus said. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Jesus is, and this is throughout the Bible, becoming a Christian doesn't mean all your troubles go away. In fact, sometimes it means they increase. And you're going like, aren't you supposed to like convince us that being a Christian is a good thing? Well, yeah, it is a good thing. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Because what I found is so valuable that any hardship, that any trouble, that any pain, that any suffering does not even compare to the glorious riches that God has for me. Not earthly riches, but something way, way bigger, way more awesome. And part of it is it becomes in this life. This is where salvation begins, in this life, that the richness is Christ dwelling in me. That as I grow in my faith, that I start becoming more and more like Jesus. And that it's amazing. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you go through some really hard stuff. But because you're connected to the vine, the hard stuff doesn't even compare at all to the gift of God that he has for you, that he's given you salvation, that you couldn't work for it, that there's nothing that you could do to earn it, There's not, you couldn't be good enough ever to reach perfection, so you could never be good enough to ever gain your salvation, that it comes only through Jesus and what he did on the cross. He did all the work. Our work is believing. And when we believe, we love. And when we love Jesus, the result is fruit. So Jesus starts working in our life. This is good news, guys. It's fruit. That these good things that Jesus is doing, these rich things that he's doing in us, that we talked about, the fruit of the Spirit, starts being produced in us, and it's awesome. And so when we start to doubt, we look at our lives and we go like, oh, I don't know. Am I in? Am I out? And you start looking at your life and going like, okay, why am I thinking this? Who is behind this? Who is trying to make me doubt in my salvation? Who gets the benefit? God? Does God benefit you? Did God benefit from you doubting whether you're saved or not? No. So is God putting those doubts in your mind? No. The enemy is, because the enemy wants to destroy what God is building. The Bible says that the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. He wants to devour you. That's why it's not easy to be a Christian. Sometimes it's really, really hard. Okay. You guys want to go to your small groups, or do you want to watch the last clip? How about we watch the clip next week? Is that good?
Yeah.
We'll start from where we left off next week. I just felt like this is so, like the stuff in this text is so important. Okay. We won't do the clip. So the last thing I want to say before you go to your small groups. Jesus repeats this again later on in this text. He says, if you obey my commands, so you want to, you want to know how to remain in Jesus' love?
Yeah.
It says right in the scripture. He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete. Sorry, my joy in you, and that your joy may be complete. Jesus takes great joy in us being connected to him, remaining in his love. It's not a question of whether I'm doing enough good stuff. The question is, am I connected to Jesus? If I'm connected to Jesus, yes, I belong to Jesus. I'm a child of God. I may make mistakes, but here's what a child of God does. We live a life of repentance. We turn away from our sin. And yes, there's some sins that are hard to turn away from, and some sins we do over and over and over. And yet the message in the Bible is that God will forgive you if you confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. And that's how we can still remain in him, even in our sinful state. It's because Jesus makes us clean. Remember in the statement, he says, you are already clean because of my teaching, he told the disciples. It's the same is true for us. All right, I need to let you guys go. So I'm going to pray and then go to small groups. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, this is just such an important thing. We need to be connected to you. So Father, I just pray for those of us who are really facing some doubts and some hardship when it comes, do I belong to Jesus? Am I good enough? Am I saved? Am I in or out? Lord, I just pray that you would impress upon our hearts that we just need to be connected to you, that you are the one that has done the work for our salvation. And that we just have to accept that. And that when we accept that, we're connected to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would fill us with love for you, so that we're not trying to impress you, so that we're not trying to do good things so we're okay, so we're not trying to do good things so we get to heaven. But Lord, I just pray that you would fill us with love for you, so that the things that we do that are good are because we love you. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.